Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
An O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card is the perfect gift for that hard-to-buy-for person. Give the gift of convenience from O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Well met, fellow adventurers. We are back with Sir Croakington, and we are going to be going to the Fogshire Commons. And now we're there. Commonly referred to as just the Commons, the well-maintained green swath carved into the thick of the forest north and east of Trithic is home to a grand monument honouring one of the age's most illustrious adventurers. Even from the road that snakes past the southern edge of the foggy, tree-scattered lay, the imposing statue can be glimpsed towering above the surrounding wood. True to its name, a thick blanket of white mist covers almost the entirety of Fogshire Commons, leading many to believe the region is plagued by a curse similar to that which hangs over Fogborough Forest. Well, I hope it's not very similar, because that is one serious curse in Fogborough Forest. Just a little curse. Alright, make my way into Fogshire Commons. You make your way across the commons, doing your best to stick to a well-worn path as you wade through the thick covering of fog, blanketing the vast expanse. As you draw near to the middle of this region, the silhouette of a towering monument rises out of the mists ahead. At the centre of the commons, its ornate hexagonal stone base, largely obscured by a sea of fog incessantly churning its way across the rolling lay, stands the impressive statue of Octopus Doctor, a monument whose upper reaches obtain a truly dizzying height. Next to the foot of this giant stone adventurer statue stands a smaller, though equally impressive, statue of a fierce-looking dog, who is a good boy, girl. Yes, she is. She is such a good girl. Investigate the massive claw. Well, I can approach the monument. Make my way out of Fogshire Commons. Well, I've just got here. No point doing that yet. Investigate a massive claw-shaped standing stone. I'm pretty sure you've investigated those before, Sir Croakington, but it's been quite a while, so I'll look again. You step up to the claw-shaped standing stone and discover the massive piece of rock is actually protruding out of the ground. The stone's near-perfect curves and smooth constructs make it difficult to believe that it is an entirely natural construct. From all angles, the stone looks like the talon of some gigantic beast poking up through the earth. Engravings near the base of the stone, just above the ground, is a curious symbol. What is this talon? Let's look close with it. Observation link. You curiously note the tapered tip of the massive claw-shaped standing stone is covered with a sparkling sheen of frost. And there's this curious symbol. The symbol engraved near the base of the standing stone is that of a claw enclosed in a triangle. You immediately recognise the marking to be the Scar of Arcandor. And there's a lorebook link there. Arcandor, the fabled north. You know what? It's very long, but we'll read it anyway. Arcandor, the fabled north. Behold, adventurer! The perilous wonder that is Arcandor. Arcandor is the name given to the vast, frozen reaches of the far north. Far northern Swith, a region more commonly referred to as the fabled north. Arcandia is a word of ancient Ardivarian origin, roughly translates to realm of ice and death. The Scar of Arcandia, a claw-shaped symbol enclosed in a triangle, was found all across the Frozen North, etched or emblazoned upon various surfaces or objects. Its meaning remains unknown. Claw, perhaps the claw of Zathorook. Legends tell of Mordragon, a vast kingdom lost beneath the ice long ago, a kingdom said to have been more grand than any that currently exists in the known world. Countless adventurers have braved the fabled north throughout the ages, but apart from a few scattered clues and a handful of odd relics, little evidence exists to support the tenets of the kingdom's existence. Well, maybe we'll find something when we go up there. Rhymehaft, an ancient walled city on the southern coast of Arcandia, serves as the region's lone seaport and the only true bastion of civilization. Arcandia is not governed in a traditional sense, and indeed knows no central source of authority. Through a confederation of loosely aligned merchants known as the Rhyme Council, oversees law, order, and commerce in and around Rhymehaft. The small permanent populace of Arcandia is made up of an equal mix of Tysians, Fidelis, and Wysalians, who have chosen to dwell and seek out an existence in inhospitable fabled north for a variety of reasons. Arcandia's two chief exported commodities are Duakin oil and small quantities of raven bone that are mined from several mines still in operation around Rhymehaft. Now look, should I follow up on these links? I feel if I do that, I think I might be stuck here for quite a while, so I'm not going to follow up on the links. If you want to follow up on the links, you're just going to have to play for yourself. Yep, no other option. Or perhaps just listen to the episodes I did where I just read through the entire lore book. In particular, the commerce involved with trading and shipping Duakin oil makes for a constant day and night bustle in Rhymehaft's wide, fathomless harbour. Beyond the gates of Rhymehaft, Arcandia is a bleak, desolate, forbidding realm, populated by strange and dangerous creatures, seemingly immune to the region's deadly cold and countless natural perils. A few small, scattered permanent settlements are known to exist beyond the bounds of Rhymehaft, either outposts for Duakin hunters or in support of an operational raven bone mine. Adventurers who have explored far and wide across the fabled north and lived to tell reported many curious things, including encounters with strange and deadly beasts, and the existence of a race of free-eyed humans seemingly unaffected by the frigid climb and crumbling ice-covered ruins. Passage to and from Arcandia by ship is frequently a perilous endeavour, as vessels must first brave the wild, storm-ravaged waters of the Sundering Sea, a daunting prospect for even the most experienced mariners. Most ships making the journey do so as parts of small fleets known as packs, in an effort to dissuade attacks from brigands. Those feared pirate hulks roam the waters around the lawless Isle of Caste. Some ships, however, those captains and crews have ties, commercial or otherwise, to Caste, will stop over on the trek to and from Arcandia to illegally trade goods, restock supplies, or go make repairs. Now, I hope it's not one of those goods they trade isn't the worst good, that being slaves, because if you do, I'm gonna have to beat you up. No, think about it. Just gonna have to do that. Should be noted that ships sailing from ports anywhere in the North Broadlands are forbidden by various decrees from travelling to Cast or participating in trade with the Outlaw Island Nation. However, no such law forbids ships leaving Wymhaft from harbouring at Cast. tricky. Alright, step away from the stone. Alright, now to approach the monument. Standing in the shadow cast by the statue of Octopus Doctor. Oh, the O's missing. Knee deep in the eddying wither of fog, you stare up at the massive, lifelike monument of the famed adventurer. The statue's carved face, bearing an expression of steely vigilance, is turned in the direction of Talonus, seemingly fixing his hardened gaze upon the distant capital city. Octopus Doctor's sculptured equipment and attire, legendary pieces acquired during his countless well-chronicled adventures, complete the stunning depiction of the age's most prolific heroes. Now, admittedly, the descriptions of equipment is a bit lacking in this, because the Octopus Doctor is one of my guys, so this is a statue that I pay for, so that's all on me. Just letting it go, really. Yeah, I didn't give Octopus Doctor an interesting set of equipment, so we could have an interesting statue. The white edge of the pedestal atop which the statue is perched stands the smaller sculpture of a fierce-looking dog, its head ambled up as if to set its canine eyes upon the figure that towers above it. And that dog is a good girl. Yes, she is. Move away or examine an inscription, and I think you know from the previous episode what that will lead to, but nevertheless examine it. Inscription carved along the bottom edge of one of the massive stone blocks supporting the towering statue seems to cryptically refer to a reward awaiting anyone able to scale the 150-foot monument. I don't know if there's another reward for climbing up the little dog statue, but apparently not. Pity. Glancing up at the dizzying heights to which the statue soars, you begin to consider the very notion of such a climb to border on madness. Madness, you say? I'm all for that. Attempt to climb up the monument. Climbing the square base of the monument proves relatively simple. After only a couple of minutes, you stand at the foot of the towering statue. Staring upward, you carefully contemplate the perilous endeavour you're about to undertake. The dangerous ascent will be just over 150 feet. Then we shall begin. Single-minded of purpose and zero-minded of any, sense, you cast aside a small handful of nagging doubts, probably should have had more of those, and begin the daunting climb up the towering statue. Only 15 feet into the climb, you're already beginning to feel fatigued. The statue's smooth surface offers only scattered footholds and handholds, making every movement a struggle, picking a number. Bonus of 60, 15 from fever, 15 from body, 10 from spirit, and 20 from feathery. If I went all out raising feathery, I could get that bonus to 25, but that would require so much experience for an advantage that pretty much only exists for this check, and probably a few others as well, because feathery is used a lot. Anyway, pick now. 83, success. Struggling to maintain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. Just look at the dog. Look at the dog. Just over 30 feet above the base, you begin to look laterally across the front of the statue as you search for any nook or crevice that will enable you to pull yourself higher. Alright, same check again, but now you've got to get 65. Pick now. 87, success. Struggling to retain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. You're almost 50 feet into your climb. A quick glance down, something you swore to yourself you wouldn't do, but you keep doing, reveals the dangerous spot you're in. Not certain even you could even climb down here. You press on, your hands seeking their next hold as you continue your brazen descent. Same thing again, but now 70. 112, success. Struggling to maintain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. At 60 feet, you begin to question the wisdom of attempting to make the climb. A fall from this height will almost certainly prove fatal. Something you try to push from your mind as you struggle to ward off the growing fatigue. Ultimately undeterred, you continue upwards. Same trick again, but now I've got to get 75. Success with 119. Struggling to maintain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. Looking up, without daring to look down, you estimate you're halfway up the monument. Perhaps close to 80 feet above its base. The calculation does little to ease your mind. Hoping your fingers will hold out, you seek your next landlord while pausing to catch your breath and ease the burn in your muscles. It's the same check again. Peak now. 71. Failure. Oh dear. Oh dear. Oh dear. Oh dear. Oh dear. Suddenly, your heart skips a beat, and when a horrified gasp escapes your lips as you suddenly lose your grip and begin sliding off the statue. Picking a number. Bonus of 60. 10 from luck, 20 from agility, 10 from body, 20 from feathery. I think it's the same as before. Not quite sure. And it's got to get 75 or more or fall to my death. Pick now. 86. Success. A split second before you slip off the statue, your hands snag onto an angular outcropping, abruptly halting your side. It's a very good thing I have my character wear such spiky armour then. With great effort, you pull yourself back onto the monument, thankful to have escaped the horrifying plunge into open space. After taking a few moments to compose yourself, you warily resume your climb, same check again. It's agility, body, spirit. Yeah, it's a slightly different check to save yourself than to regularly climb. Pick now. 125, success. Struggling to maintain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. A quick upward glance reveals you're nearing the neck and shoulder region of the statue. For the observation seems to only increase your tension. Realising the odd, precipitous angles of the sculpted stone won't provide you with any safe spot on which to rest. Now, that'd be entirely different if we were climbing up the dog statue. Many safe spots to rest on that one. Because she is a good boy. You press on, cursing under your breath, as your hand scours the smooth stone for its next hold, picking a number. Bonus of 60, success 75, yep, same as before, pick now. 81, success, it was close, but I just about did it. Struggling to maintain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. Having just surpassed what you surmise to be the 100-foot mark of your climb, you can't help but smile when you consider the action of anyone who might, at this very moment, be witnessing your daring ascent. Your amusement is short-lived, however, as you promptly refocus on the task at hand, a task that requires your full attention, picking a number, but yep, same as before. 141, success. struggling to tighten your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface. You claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. Angling yourself around the base of the statue's neck, looking for a way to pull yourself up onto the side of the head, you whisk a downward glance. From this height, you can make out only the very vaguest details of the monument's base and the ground far below. Vowing to not again look down, till you reach the top, you resume your climb. Same check again, pick now. 118 success. Must have knocked some dust off the statue while I was climbing. Struggling to maintain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. Gasping, with sweat streaming off your face, you look up and realise you're within just a few feet of the top of the statue's head. Taking care not to let your elation temper your diligence, you return to concentrating on the task immediately at hand, the safe completion of the last dozen feet of your climb. Same check again. 144 success. Struggling to maintain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. 64 XP to General. Bathed in sweat, with your limbs aching, you haul yourself over the angled edge of the statue's head and come to rest atop Octopus Doctor's monument. After lying on your back for nearly a minute and staring up at the sky, as you recover from the arduous climb, you return to your feet and survey the impressive view offered by your lofty vantage. Kind of lucky for me that none of these guys decided to wear cone-shaped hats, because then you'd have nowhere to rest at all. You'd just like sit there and just be very uncomfortable. As you try to balance on the tippy top of the cone. Or, you know, like a dunce cap or something. Try to balance on it. And then the guy would be like, oh, okay, yeah, you're up there. Yeah, I've just teleported it into your inventory, okay? There's not really anywhere for us to talk. All right, okay, yeah. Yeah, I put a portal down. Yeah, there's a gate there. Just fall in and you'll be okay. Yeah, fortunately, nice flat heads to stand on. Presumably by design. It's like we're all wearing mortarboard hats. From your perch atop the statue's head, just over 150 feet, you can see over a dozen miles in all directions. The colourful landscape mosaic stretches the horizon, forging a scene of true beauty that both inspires and exhilarates. Far below, the swirling mists of Fogshire Commons look like a gently eddying sea of white foam, obscuring the rolling lee across which they endlessly churn. As you warily make your way around the statue's broad head, taking care not to place your feet too close to the edge, you peer down at a worm that seems more peaceful than you have ever known it. Suddenly, it's that guy again. Alerted by a movement to your left, you whip your head in that direction, startled to find a tall man clad in a green tunic and grey cape standing only a few feet away. A wide-brimmed leather hat covers his head, casting a deep shadow that largely obscures his slender face. Still climbing these things? He says, shaking his head. I hope someone would have dissuaded you from it by now. Falling off one of them might do it. That's a rather grim thing to say. No, apologies for having said it. A stranger tosses you a small cloth pouch, which you discover contains a tiny raven bone cube. And now I have four of them. Keep that safe, he says. Not the pouch, mind you, the cube. If you manage to collect enough of these, something quite extraordinary will result from it. You meet at the Enquirer about something quite extraordinary, but the man shrugs in response. I don't know anything more about it, he says. I suppose that would be because no one has yet collected enough of those little cubes. You're on your way with them, though, and also 64 XP to general. The stranger waves his hand, and a glowing blue glyph, in the form of a griffin silhouette, appears directly in front of your feet. I think you already know that will get you back down in the safest possible manner, he says. Can't always be around, mind you. So, well, that will be that. Take care of yourself. With no particular reason to linger here, you bid your stranger farewell and step onto the glyph. A dazzling flash of blue light erupts from the glyph as you step onto it, causing you to instinctively close your eyes to protect them from the intensity of the glow. Only a split second later, when your eyes spring open, you discover you're once again standing on the ground next to the base of the monument. Alright. Looking up at the statue and the dog. Alright, move away from the monument. Make your way out of Fogshire Commons. Make your way in. Alright, make my way out. Alright, I'm sure there was something that could happen here. Let me just check. Okay, I might have done that what I think was happening on another guy playthrough. So I've loaded up another character to do it with. Anyway, we're approaching Fogshire Commons and we have a suddenly. You're nearing the base of the giant statue when four shadowy figures suddenly step out the fog ahead and move to block your path. For a moment, the swirling mist clears, revealing a rugged-looking man clad in a leather jerkin, his gloved hands gripping the haft of a long-handled axe. At his heels stand three grim-faced men, each brandishing a short sword, their expressionless faces filling you with a sense of dread. And actually doing that because Evil Eye hasn't adventured much. Only has 37 mil waiting. The leader, his leather-clad fingers tighten his grip on the axe's sturdy haft, takes a step forward and stops as a sneer spreads across his face. I don't think you believe what they offer for a scalp like yours, he snarls, but I'm willing to be reasonable. Let us have that gold you're toting about and we'll forget all about you. The brash robber demands that you immediately hand over 1,000 gold to avoid meeting a gruesome end, here and now.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
The three men draw up to his flank, seemingly prepared to rush you at any moment. Okay, so there's five options here. Hand over 1,000 gold. Refuse the demand. Try diplomacy. It has to be at level 30 plus. I don't have that, but I could get it easily enough. Or attack the men or attempt to free. So I'm going to quit. So I can get diplomacy to a high enough level so I can have all the options available. This does involve using a little bit of my general XP pool, but this is a character I very rarely use, so that really doesn't matter. Okay, here we go again. Fogshire Commons. Suddenly, it's those guys again. Okay, five options. Go, give the gold, refuse to demand, talk past them, attack, or attempt to flee. Five options. So, as I often do with these, I shall turn to wanda.org to tell me what to do. Now, this adventure is short enough that I could just go through all of them. Easy enough, but it's also short enough that it's very, very easy for anyone else to get to it. So you could do that yourself. Just go to swift.com and you'll see whatever options I don't take. Number five. Looks like I'm running away. Perhaps a sensible choice considering Evil Eye is very new to this whole adventure thing. Attempt to flee. You turn and take flight, bounding off into the fog in a desperate bid to evade your would-be assailants. The robbers, shouting and arguing, swiftly take up pursuit, splitting up as they head into the mists, following the rapid drumming of your footfalls, picking a number, bonus of 40, 17 from agility, 17 from body, 6 from luck. And you've got to get 75 or more to pass. So even if I have the max stats, which most characters do, it would still not be a guaranteed success. Pick now. 138 success after several minutes of flight, when you're all but certain that the robbers have abandoned any attempt at pursuit. You pause to catch your breath, listening intently for any signs of your attackers in the nearby fog. At last convinced you're no longer in any immediate danger, you quickly check over your gear before once again setting off in the direction of the towering statue. Yep, and here's the statue. Make my way out of Fogshire Commons. There. I'm not sure if I ever triggered it with Sir Croakington, but I guess I must have at some point. Okay, anyway. Gonna save this account and then right back to Sir Croakington on my there we are. Well, you've seen what can happen in Fogshire Commons now. Alright, now let's explore some other places. Alright, we've explored all the areas around Twithic, except Moonwolf's camp, but all you can do there is crime. So, I'll be leaving that be. I think I probably went there, but just didn't do the thing there. It's the city of Mergspool, we've been there. Lake Ironway region. What's there? Alright, there's just Shimmerpool Cave. We've probably done that before. In fact, yeah, we almost certainly have. Because that was... Let me just check. Yeah, that's one of the ones you have to purchase. So, I would have explored it when I purchased the three areas. The three locations of three explorable areas. So, I'll leave that be. Alright, and Lake Ironwain. Iron Guard. Alright, and we're still exploring Western Tysa. Fogbro, we've done plenty of things there. the Moonlight Wake region, and then there's Fairy Falls, right at the bottom. Visit Fairy Falls. Spilling out over the over the whim of a cliffside pool formed by the outflow of an subterranean river, Fairy Falls splashes down nearly 100 feet into a broad stone-winged basin from which it funnels underground to resume its interminable journey. The flat, square stones encircling the churning basin, each bearing an engraved depiction of an enticing town or city. Nearby, towering over the surrounding forest, is a grand monument honouring the legendary adventurer Adasa. Well, looks like I'm visiting another monument. That just seems to be what we're doing now. Because I've been kind of, with the exception of one of those monuments, I've been leaving them aside. Because they're not that exciting. But I think I can make them fun. With the splashes of the falls winging in your ears, you make your way through the forest towards the towering monument of Adasa. The towering monument of Adasa, erected in honour of the famed adventurer, soars above the thick tangle of forest out of which it majestically rises. The statue, standing atop its circular base, depicts the slender but imposing figure of an armour-clad woman, her feet planted a shoulder's width apart. Long, tumbling locks of hair flow from her head, spilling elegantly over her shoulders and draping themselves upon her lift torso. Her raised-high hand clutches the engraved hilt of a fearsome longsword. Her left hand, lowered and centred upon her midriff, holds her legendary shield, Falkrik, the front of which bears a scowling, battle-scarred face. Adasa's eyes, the centrepieces of her resting countenance, seem almost alive, their gentle shape betraying just a hint of mirth. A sentiment echoed by the spirited smile adorning her face. Yeah, far, far more exciting description than my statue. Because I kind of didn't put that much detail into the statue. I was far more interested in the tavern, which was the one with the ants. Examine an inscription at the base of the monument. The inscription carved along the bottom edge of the massive stone blocks supporting the towering statue seems to cryptically refer to an award. To a reward awaiting anyone able to scale the 150-foot monument. Glancing up at the dizzying heights to which the statue soars, you begin to consider the very notion of such a climb to border on madness. But nevertheless, I shall do it. Climbing onto the square base of the monument proves relatively simple. And after only a couple of minutes, you stand at the foot of the towering statue. Staring upwards, you carefully contemplate the perilous endeavour you're about to undertake. The dangerous ascent would be just over 150 feet. Begin the climb. Single-minded of purpose, you cast aside the small handful of nagging doubts and begin a daunting climb up the towering statue. Only 15 feet into the climb, you're already beginning to feel fatigued. The statue's smooth surface offers only scattered footholds and handholds, making every movement a struggle. Picking a number, yep, same as before, but the success is 60. Pick now, 108, success. Struggling to retain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. Just over 30 feet above the base, you begin to move laterally across the front of the statue as you search for any nook or crevice to allow you to pull yourself higher. Same checks before, we've got to get 65, pick now, 110, success. Struggling to maintain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. You're almost 50 feet into the climb. A quick glance down, something you swore to yourself you wouldn't do, reveals the dangerous spot you're in. Not certain you could even climb down from here. You press on, your hands seeking their next hold as you continue your brazen ascent. Same check. 70 to pass. 96, success. Struggling to retain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. At 60 feet, you begin to question the wisdom of attempting to make the climb. A fall from this height would almost certainly prove fatal, something you try to push from your mind as you struggle to ward off your growing fatigue. Ultimately undeterred, you continue upwards, picking a number, bonus of 60, success 65, so same as before, 130 success. Struggling to retain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. Looking up, without daring to look down, you estimate you're halfway up the monument, perhaps close to 80 feet above its base. The calculation does little to ease your mind. Hoping your fingers will hold out, you seek your next handhold, while pausing to catch your breath and ease the burden in your muscles. So, same check as before, pick now. 158, success. Struggling to maintain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. A quick upward glance reveals you're nearing the neck and shoulder region of the statue, for the observation seems to only increase your tension. Realising that the odd, precipitous angles of the sculptured stone won't provide you with any safe spot in which to rest, you press on, cursing under your breath, as your hand scours the smooth stone for its next hold. Picking a number, bonus of 60. Same check as before, pick now. 61, failure. I did as bad as I could possibly do. Just absolutely screwed the pooch on that one. Suddenly, your heart skips a beat, and a horrified gasp escapes your lips as you suddenly lose your grip and begin sliding off the statue. Picking a number. Bonus of 60. 10 from luck, 20 from agility, 10 from body, 20 from favour. We've got it. 75 or more, or die. Pick now. 112, success. A split second before you slip off the statue, your hands snag onto an angular outcropping, abruptly halting your slide. With great effort, you pull yourself back into the monument, thankful to escape the horrifying plunge into open space. After taking a few moments to compose yourself, you warily resume your climb, same check as before. 65. Oh! I failed again. Your heart skips a beat, and a horrified gasp escapes your lips. You suddenly begin to lose your grip and begin sliding off the statue. It's the same check as the last time I was sliding, so pick now. 68, 78, fairly. Oh, so close! A split of a split second before you slip off the statue, your hands snag onto a weight angular outcropping, abruptly halting your slide. With great effort, you pull yourself back onto the monument, thankful for escaping the horrifying plunge into open space. Okay, climbing again, same check as before. 103, success. Struggling to maintain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. Having just surpassed what you surmise to be the 100-foot mark of the climb, you can't help but smile when you consider the reaction of one who might at this very moment be witnessing your daring and very stupid ascent. Your amusement is short-lived, however, as you promptly refocus on the task at hand. Task that requires your full attention, same check as before. 104, success. Struggling to retain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. Angle yourself around the base of the statue's neck, looking for a way to pull yourself up and onto the side of the head. You whisk a downward glance. From this height, you can make out only the vaguest details of the monument's base and the ground far below. Vowing not to again look down until you reach the top, you resume your climb, same check as before. 62, failure. Alright, I'm plummeting to my death. Same check as last. Its boat check is Oh, I'll just weed it out. Your heart skips a beat and a horrified gasp escapes your lips as you suddenly lose your grip and begin sliding off the statue. Picking a number. Bonus 60. 10 from luck. 20 from agility. 10 from body. 20 from feathery. Going at 75 or more or die. Pick now. Whew. 102 success. A split second before you slip off the statue, your hands slag onto an angular outcropping, abruptly halting your slide. With great effort, you pull yourself back onto the monument, thankful to have survived the horrifying plunge into open space. Okay, back to climbing. 83 success. Struggling to retain your grip on the statue's smooth angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. Gasping, sweat streaming down your face. Do I sweat? I don't know. You look up and realise you're within just a few feet of the top of the statue's head, taking care not to let your elation temper your diligence. My diligence is tempered quite enough, thank you very much. You return to concentrate on the task immediately at hand. A safe completion of the last dozen feet of your climb. Same check as before, pick now. 153 success. Struggling to retain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. 64 experience to general. Bathed in sweat and with your limbs aching, you haul yourself over an angled edge of the statue's head and come to rest atop Adusa's monument. After lying on your back for nearly a minute and staring up at the skies to recover from the arduous climb, you return to your feet and survey the impressive view afforded by your lofty vantage. From your perch atop the statue's head, just over 150 feet above the ground, you can see for over a dozen miles in all directions. The colourful landscape mosaic stretches to the horizon, forging a scene of true beauty that both inspires and exhilarates. Far below, amidst a tangled forest at the foot of the monument, you spot the sparkling pool into which Fairy Falls empties. Even from this height, the steady, smoothing sounds of the falls reaches your ears. As you warily make your way around the statue's broad head, taking care not to place your feet too close to the edge, you peer down at a worm who seems more peaceful than you have ever known it. This is nice, isn't it? Suddenly, alerted by the movement to your left, you whip your head in that direction and are startled to find a tall man clad in a green tunic and a grey cape standing only a few feet away. A wide-brimmed leather hat covers his head, casting a deep shadow that still largely obscures his slender face. "Still climbing these things?" he says, shaking his head. "Hope that someone would have dissuaded you from it by now. Falling off one of them might do it. That's a rather grim thing to say, and I apologise for having said it." The stranger tosses you a small cloth pouch, which you discover contains a tiny Waven Bone cube. "Now I have 5 of them. Keep that safe. Not the pouch, mind you. The cube. If you manage to collect enough of those, something quite extraordinary will result from it." You immediately inquire about something quite extraordinary, but the man shrugs in response. "I don't know anything about it," he says. "I suppose that would be because no one has yet collected enough of those little cubes. You're on your way with them, though." 64 speaks to general. The stranger waves his hand, and a glowing blue glyph in the form of a griffin's silhouette appears directly in front of your feet. "I think you already know, but that will get you back down in the safest possible manner," he says. "Can't always be around, mind you, so well. That will be that. Take care of yourself." With no particular reason to linger here, you bid the stranger farewell and step onto the glyph. A dazzling flash of blue light erupts from the glyph as you step onto it, causing you to instinctively close your eyes to protect you from the intensity of the glow. Only a split second later, when your eyes spring open, you discover you're once again standing on the ground next to the base of the monument. Yeah. And that's enough of that. Not that much. Nothing extra for this statue, really. It's just a nice description of the environment around, and it's the statue, and then you climb it. Well, I think that's all the places in Western Taisa. Unless there's some hiding that I missed, but I don't think so. I'll just check the Silver Shaft Inn. I'm going to pause while I do that. Yeah, we've already been there. Alright, Central Taisa. Is there anything there? Well, there's Talonus. And there's the Ruins of Your Tower. We've been there. We've been to Sage Holt. We've been to the Blue Moss Cave. We've been to the abandoned Watchtower. Looks like Marso hasn't really done anything with it yet. It's the Moonshore Crossroads and the Griffin Quags and the Tar Lakes. Moonshore Crossroads. We've also been. It looks like we've been everywhere here. There's the Griffin Crags. That's here's some highwaymen. Not just attack the bandits, but they went away. Small Griffin Crags. Explore now. Dark Cave. Yeah, this is just a pretty generic place. Armored Scavenger. Fight it, kill it. Two trinkets worth 5 gold. Of course, this is a place you only really go. Let me just check. Yeah, there's not much to this place unless you have Varquin's Wing of Motley Wonder, which I'm pretty sure I probably. Does Sir Crokington have that? Don't think. No, Sir Crokington doesn't have that. Other characters have that, but it costs adventure tokens, and it's no longer that good anymore. I mean, when it came out, about a decade or so ago, a bit more than that even, it was the best wing. So it was worth the 50 AT and lots of gold you spent on it. But now, it's not. Now it's just helps in giving you a way, place to put all the blobs that you get from the Tar Beast. But now there's nothing to it. Okay. Eastern Taisa. Okay. Next up is, well, that's the Copper Hill Lodge. Might be something new here. Enter the lodge. Leave the lodge. Enter the lodge. Leave the lodge. Enter the lodge. Leave the lodge. Enter the lodge. Yep. And yeah, there's the trading post here. Yeah, there's nothing. I've done lots of adventures to here. Okay, yep. Yeah, no, I think, yeah, that place is done with. Or there's Warfoot, Withering Woods, Trollneck. Anything there? It's just a particularly dense section of forest at the very eastern edge of Freckwood. Its name suggests this part of the ancient wood has long been associated with trolls, as well as other equally undesirable things. Yeah, looks like we've been. Yeah, we've been everywhere in. Yeah, we've been all the places in the eastern quadrant of the map. Alright. Southwest. Lots of places in the southwest. Okay. There's Squallaway Billabong, which is a fun way to say Swallaway Billabong, 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 Billy, 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 Billabong. And the Boomerang Tavern. Well, that's two places we haven't been before. So, yeah, there's quite a few places to... quite a few places still to explore in the Southwest. These are the taverns and the... these are taverns and the adventurer statues. But we'll be popping down to Hawklaw. To Hawklaw to stop for now. But anyway, next time we'll be going to Swallway Billabong and the Boomerang Tavern. And until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Need parts now? O'ReillyAuto.com offers in-store pickup, same-day home delivery, or next-day home shipping. Get more parts your way at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.